Hello, and welcome to Executive Broadcasting Channel and Women of Distinction Magazine Radio. I'm so excited today. We have Dr. Lori M. Hobson with us. Dr. Lori is the founder of Resilience International. She is also a professional motivational speaker, a resilience coach, and an author. And hello, Dr. Lori, welcome.
Hello, and I am so pleased to be here.
We are excited to have you. And I don't want to waste any time. I do want to go right into how you got started in your career.
Well, I have been a counselor now for a number of years. I've got 30 years of clinical counseling experience, and I've worked as just about every kind of counselor you can think of. I've done drug treatment and prevention and intervention and college counseling and career counseling, a number of things. And I'm very good at being a counselor because I have a lot of empathy for my clients. However, after a while, after 30 years of being that level of empath, it becomes a kind of draining, unfortunately. But I wanted to continue to use my skills. So what I decided to do was to move over to life coaching. I can use all those years of clinical experience, but the difference is I meet my clients where they are, and we are not solving problems. We are not treating problems. We are improving lives. And I just love that concept.
I do as well. And this, now you started this business, and what has, I know that you say you're empathetic, and is that what you would say has kept you in your career for so long? It's really not a career either. It's really a passion, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially since I moved into life coaching with the emphasis on resilience. It is absolutely a passion. But what has kept me in my field for so long, and I would encompass both being a counselor as well as being a life coach, is my concern and love for people, is my passion about not seeing people walk around in as much pain as they do. I see that happen a lot. That's what made me a good counselor, and that's what kept me in counseling, is seeing people walking around in pain. That 99% of that pain they didn't have to be in. It just required some changes to alleviate or reduce that pain. And with life coaching, I think what it is seeing people not use their potential or not live their passions. And, you know, it's a little bit different than being in pain, but it keeps me going, is the thought of, you know, these awesome, amazing people who are, you have what it takes to live their dreams, just need a sweet things just a little bit to be able to fulfill those dreams.
So true. So your role in the company, I mean, I'm sure it's vast. Tell us, mm-hmm. I should say. I feel sometimes that I'm just speaking with you, and I want the listeners to realize sometimes I get caught up, and I apologize. But tell us your mm-hmm. role with the company, and what specific tasks that helps the organization function at its highest capacity, do you provide?
Well, at the moment, I am the company. I am the coach. I am the founder. I am the person who keeps things going. Of course, you know, there are people, I have a team of people that I work with to handle things that I don't do well or can't do. But for the most part, I am, you know, I am the company. Now, as far as what my role is, you know, of course, everyone knows what an author is. I have authored two books. One is called Mama Sayings and Life Reflections, and the other is Set Yourself Free, and that is a 30-day planner. And I'm sure that, Jennifer, you'll ask me about those again, so we'll go into that.
Absolutely.
Okay. But as far as life coaching is concerned, what I do is I offer people the opportunity to take a look at their lives and to look at multiple areas of their lives and determine whether or not they are satisfied in those areas of their lives. Most of us are satisfied with quite a few of our life areas. For example, we may have great relationship with our family. We may have good relationships with our friends. We may love the work we do. But maybe we feel like we should be doing more community service. Maybe we should feel like we want to strengthen our spiritual capacity. You know, maybe we want to make more money. Maybe we want to contribute more money. Maybe, you know, those things. So you take a look and what are you satisfied with? What are you not satisfied with? Then we move on. Those things that you're satisfied with, we leave those alone. You got that. Those things that you're not satisfied with, we take a look at. Now, let's say of those things that you're not satisfied with, some of them, you're not satisfied with them, but you don't really care one way or another whether they change. So we look at prioritizing. Let's say your number one thing is you want to grow spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
That's a priority for you. And, you know, perhaps making a lot more money isn't a priority for you. I'd like to make some more, but that's not that big a deal. Okay? If that's the case, then what we work on is the spirituality. We work on the things in your life that you see as a priority for you to change. Those things in your life that you know, if you improve them just a little bit, or you change them just a little bit, you know, or focused a little differently, that it would improve your life exponentially. That's what we want to get to.
And this is what brings us to what you've studied as far as resilience goes and where you came up with Resilience International, correct?
Yes, yes. Now, resilience has been a topic, actually, of interest of mine for many, many years. I first became interested in resilience when I worked in a middle school, and I worked with children who lived in dysfunctional or kind of chaotic households, but these children were not being abused. So it wasn't like you could send someone in there to scoop them up and rescue them from the situation, because they weren't being abused or hurt. They weren't being starved. It wasn't any of that dramatic stuff that makes people remove children from their home. However, they were being affected by maybe drug abuse, by maybe you know, difficulty with sleeping, drama within the household, things like that. And my challenge was, how do I teach this kid to survive this household? And that's when I became interested in resilience. And so I started studying resilience, and I started working on helping my clients at the time, my adolescent clients, to develop the resilience and realize how resilient they actually were. And then, you know, I moved on and I revisited that resilience theme in just about every job I had when I started working in academia, because I worked for a number of years in a college setting. Same thing. I encountered a lot of very resilient people who had survived difficulties in their past, a lot of very resilient people who were, you know, very challenged with the college setting and very challenged with the classes and what they were trying to do. I helped them to discover and develop their resilience as well. And then when I decided to get my doctorate is actually in organizational leadership. And so, of course, I had to study some aspect of leadership. And what better topic than resilience?
And absolutely.
Yes, and I studied resilience in women leaders. Now, I specialize in women. I don't discriminate. You know, if a man is interested in working with me, I'm all for it. That's not a problem. However, I specialize in women mainly because it has been mostly women who have sought me out. You know, in most of the settings, particularly when I work with adults, I've had more women on my caseload than men. So I decided to study resilience in women leaders. And you know what, Jennifer? I was astonished when I went to review the literature on resilience in women leaders, that specific population and that specific topic. I was astonished to find that almost no one was writing about that. I couldn't believe it. Everybody I spoke to, including my professors, everybody I spoke to, agreed that women needed to be more resilient to get into leadership roles and to maintain them. But it was like some kind of secret. No one was writing about it. I found plenty of stuff on leadership, plenty on leadership and gender, plenty on resilience, but nothing on that specific topic. So I thought, that is a job for Dr. Lori.
Absolutely.
And that's why I consider myself a resilience coach. That's why I am very interested in those women who are in leadership roles or know that they should be, but have to develop the resilience, because when you step up for that leadership role, unfortunately, you are given many, many more opportunities to be resilient. You do find yourself under fire, so to speak, and you have to be able to handle that. You know, but once you do, it's fantastic, and that is my goal, to get as many women to that fantastic piece of it as possible.
Yeah, because we are a force to be reckoned with, but imagine how much stronger we could be if we learn. You know, they say the expression about children are resilient, but you really don't mm-hmm. think of it from an adult, professional woman standpoint, especially. Is there anyone that you have that you would consider your greatest or a professional inspiration for you?
Yes. Well, actually, I have a number of people that are inspirational for me. Actually, I think, and the first person that comes to my mind, I actually have to say two. One who is a historic figure and one who is, a celebrity, so to speak, right now. The first one is Eleanor Roosevelt. Because Eleanor Roosevelt had to be extremely resilient. If you were to describe Eleanor Roosevelt without actually saying who she was, you would think that she may have grown up in a trailer park. Eleanor Roosevelt she had an alcoholic father. Her parents died before she was 10. She married her cousin. She had... I think it was five children in maybe 7 year period of time. She was once accused of child abuse. She was expected to get married, but she wasn't taught how to cook, clean, or take care of a household. You know, now this woman grew up rich, but when you hear it that way, it doesn't sound like that.
It's but she
managed not only to survive and thrive and become first lady. She became delegate to the United Nations. You know, she became the first person in her neighborhood, the first white person in her neighborhood to join the NAACP. You know, she was awesome. Now, whether or not, I'm not going to get into political things, you know, you may have some people, you know, say, well, I'm a Republican, I don't like anybody who's Democratic. That's fine. But whether or not you agree with Eleanor's politics, you have to agree that she is resilient. And one of the sayings that always comes to my mind when I think of her is she says, no one can treat you badly without your permission.
I love that one.
Uh-huh. Me too. Me too. I use her quote quite a bit in my planner. And the other one, I think now this young lady might be 14 or 15 years old now. Her name is Monet Davis. Monet Davis is the young lady who won the Little League World Series.
Oh, yes. Yes, I remember her.
Yes. But you think about it. When this girl was discovered, a basketball coach saw her throwing a football. Throwing a football. And was so impressed with her that he invited her to come to his basketball practice to play with the boys. You know, so, okay, and then she ended up, you know, playing baseball. So this young lady had talent in football, basketball, and baseball. She stepped onto that field with those boys, and she was not a cheerleader. Now, you know she had to be resilient. And when she started, when she went to that practice, she was out there doing those drills with those boys and doing as well, if not better, than the rest of them. You know, at first, I'm sure she was not welcomed, but she handled herself, you know. And then I saw her do an interview. Some young man, college student, baseball player, had said some pretty insulting things about her. And I saw this interview on YouTube, and she was being interviewed, and she was very gracious. She said, you know, he got kicked off the team, and I know how hard it is for people to be on the team, and I know how hard it is to get kicked off, so I'm kind of hoping maybe they'll reinstate him, they'll reconsider and reinstate him. I think she's amazing. I'm still hoping to meet her one day.
And, you know, and for such a young girl such compassion and such understanding, mm-hmm. I think that's really commendable. You're right about that.
Mm-hmm.
So now we talk about your career path and your passion. What advice would you offer to someone starting out in your industry?
Okay. Well, I guess I'm going to have to say, kind of break that down, since there are three, I wear three hats in my business.
First of all,
if you're interested in being a speaker, you need to be real clear about what kind of speaker you are or should be. Not everyone does well with keynote addresses. You know, when you think about motivational speaker, you think about that person that comes in and gets everybody motivated and talks to, you know, groups of hundreds of people and gets them going and charged up and moving on, and that's fantastic. However, you have to have the talent for that. You know, a lot of people get up and you deliver keynote addresses and it's so boring that people are falling asleep in the aisles, and maybe their content is very, very good. However, you have to have that entertainment gift.
Right, the delivery, that's what counts.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, so maybe you're not a keynote. You know, maybe you are. You need to have an idea. You might be better as a trainer. You know, maybe your goal is to train people, is to teach them how to do something that they can take with them and, you know, go back to work or church or wherever they're going to begin to implement some of the things. That might be what you do. You might be a breakout, you know, do the workshops within a conference, something like that. You need to know what kind of speaker you have the talent for and what kind of speaker you want to be.
Right.
Now, as far as being a life coach, I think it's very important that you be certified. Now, most states don't require you to be a certified life coach. There are people out here, unfortunately, that just kind of decide, hey, I think I know about life and I'm going to be a life coach. And, you know, hang up their shingle and get their website and say, hey, I'm going for it. I'm going to be a life coach. And although I'm not putting that down, you really do need to have a clear understanding of what a life coach is. That's why, even though I have a doctorate and 30 years of clinical experience, I still went through the certification process to be a life coach, because I needed to be clear for myself the difference between coaching and counseling. Now I can do both. I can do them intermittently. That's because of my background. But if you are someone who just is good at giving people advice and that sort of thing, and you decide you want to be a life coach, great. Go for a formal certification so you understand what the process is and what's different and understand your limitations. And now, as far as being an author, if you want to be a writer or an author, I'll give you one word: write. And what I mean by that is, that's how you get started. You write. You write journals. You write articles. You know, maybe you submit to magazines. Maybe some of the online, and there are lots of online publications that you can go to. You need to write. Even if you just have a notebook that when thoughts come to your mind, you just write them down. Because my first book began as a list on my computer.
Really?
It started as a list. And the reason I began making the list is because I would encounter people in my counseling sessions who were going through certain life situations, particularly when I worked in the academic setting, because I worked with a number of young women and men who were younger than myself. And so they were encountering, you know, those benchmarks that you go through. As you go through life, you encounter these things. And I used to share with them things my mother said to me when I faced whatever issue they were facing. And I would call it my mama saying. You know, I said, you know, this is what my mother used to say to me. This is my mama saying. Let me share my mama saying with you. That's how it started. My mother died in 1994. And I was afraid I would forget what she said to me. And so I started writing them down just so I could remember them. And then as I wrote them, more came to my mind, and I started adding my own. And then I started telling people what I was doing, and they started telling me, well, you know what, my mama said this, my uncle said this, my grandmother used to say this all the time, you know, my father said this, and every time someone gave me a saying, I told them, okay, I'm writing a book, and I'm going to give you credit in my book. That's how it started. And it was on my computer for about 5 years until I told a friend of mine, Jewel Diamond Taylor, who is a motivational speaker based on the West Coast. And Jewel said, well, Lori, what good is it doing you on your computer? Get it off your computer and publish it.
True.
Yes, and that was how Mama Sayings came to be. So for writers, write. If there's a story in you, write it. Don't concern yourself so much with grammar and punctuation. And I'm not saying you should use those things. What I'm saying is you shouldn't write one paragraph and then feel like you have to go back through and edit it. Just write it. Get it on paper. You can always go back and edit it, or you can always hire an editor to fix it and clean it up for you. Get what's in your head and in your heart down on paper.
It's so true. And I journal all the time, and I think that it is very important to, you know, even just to help you get through something. Sometimes it's even good just to write that down, you know. You know,
absolutely.
I'm sure that as you've gotten as much education and as much knowledge as you have, I'm sure there were some professional challenges that you faced. Are there any that you would say, anything that has, that you face that you, has contributed to your overall success?
Oh my, yes. Oh my, yes. Now, I have a very strong relationship with my Lord and Savior. Okay? And so, and a lot of the things that have happened to me have been God's idea and really not mine. I have to say. The biggest professional challenge I encountered was I was working in a setting that was very oppressive for me. I was working in a setting where I was not allowed to be creative. I felt like the creativity was being crushed out of me. And I, you know, it got to the point where not only was I affected emotionally by this high degree of frustration and ineffectiveness in my opinion. I also began to be challenged physically. I began to have physical reactions, began to become physically ill. And the choice, I believe, Jennifer, and I believe it to this day, that my choice was if I stayed there, I would have died.
Wow.
Because I was being affected so badly. And my creator was saying to me, Lori, you need to leave that job and start your business. And I was saying, are you kidding? Because this sounds a little crazy. It's like the best idea to me. You know? And I was like, okay, Lord, I'll do that. But as soon as I'll do that, but first I got to find another job. Let me find another job for a while. And then I'll start the business. And he said, no, that's not what I told you to do. And so I tried to find something else for quite a while, and I began, where I was getting more and more oppressive, more and more difficult for me to face. And this is where I had to become resilient, really test my resilience muscles to survive that job for as long as I did. And, finally I stepped out on faith, and I have had to be resilient, probably even more resilient ever since.
And what is your lesson? What have you learned that you feel is good advice for others?
I have learned, and this is one of the sayings in my book, I have learned that I can survive whatever I'm afraid of. And I have learned that I cannot control the behavior of other people. And I think that if you don't learn any two lessons in your life, if you only learn those two, they will take you very, very far. Those two things are themes that I have revisited over and over and over in counseling, over and over and over in life coaching, and over in my own life.
And what are they again? Tell us again.
That you cannot control the behavior of other people. You can't control how someone else behaves. Now, you can control how you respond to it. And it's important to know that, because that gives you so much power. When you know that you can control your response and you begin to control your response to keep it in your favor, then that gives you a lot of power. And sometimes it does change the other person behaves differently because you are behaving differently. Okay, that's one. And the other one is that you can survive whatever you are afraid of.
What is, there's something about that. You know, there's mm-hmm. a saying, I'm trying to think about our fear. Our fear is what holds us back. But meanwhile, it's something that we've just given ourselves for something that we're unaware of. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Quite often your fears I've heard people say that's the story you tell yourself. In your head that
right.
creates that fear that may not necessarily be true. For example, like when I'm doing workshops, sometimes I will say, I'll choose somebody and let's say that person is wearing a green shirt. And, I'll say, what if I were to say to you, I don't like green shirts. I don't know why people would ever wear a green shirt, if you thought, oh my goodness, I'm wearing this green shirt and Dr. Lori doesn't like green shirts. And what if nobody likes green shirts? And my goodness, I'm out here looking ridiculous in this green shirt. I should have never worn this green shirt. this is the story. This is the fear.
It's true.
Now you're afraid to wear a green shirt. Okay. I said, but if, when I said that, if your thought was, Dr. Lori doesn't know what she's talking about. I look good in this green shirt and she need to go get her some green shirts because she needed to look good in those green shirts too. Dr. Lori has no idea how good a green shirt looks.
It's true.
Our poor Dr. Lori, she doesn't even understand that a green shirt has nothing to do with how pretty anybody is or that sort of thing. So sometimes these fears, these stories that we tell ourselves create these great big fearful obstacles that may not even exist. And even if they do, so what? I also use this story to explain it. Everybody has stood in a lighted hallway and looked into a dark room. Everybody's done that. You're in the hall, the light's on in the hall, the room is dark. When you're standing in the hallway, you look in the room, you can't see anything.
Right.
Right. You can build up all kinds of stories. You can say, that room, there's probably furniture in there that I could fall over. There might be somebody with a gun back in that corner over there. Maybe there are roaches or rats or something else, in there. Maybe there's fungus on the walls. As long as you stand in that little hallway, all of that stuff, all of those fears, your mind can run away with you. But what is the first thing that happens when you step out of a lighted hallway and you step into a dark room? What happens? You know, your eyes adjust.
I was just going to say, you can see.
Mm-hmm. Right. Your eyes adjust. So you look in there and you see, well, yeah, there is some furniture, but I can walk around it. I don't see the boogeyman in here. There's no one with a gun. And look, and there's a door on the other side of this room. I can walk all the way across this room and go out that door. You know, but as long as you let that fear keep you in that hallway, you never know. So you take the fear, that's what I say. You take your fear, you strap it on like a backpack, and you step on in that room. And then it's all about resilience.
It really is. It comes back to that, doesn't it?
Right. You don't wait for the fear to go away. You know, you get out there and be afraid. I mean, courage doesn't mean you're not afraid. Courage means you do it even when you are afraid. That's what makes you courageous.
That's right. You know, I want to get into the books. I just want you to briefly tell us a little bit about your work history, but my main concern is specific contributions that you've made in the field, and of course I want to talk about the books. So mm-hmm. tell us, give us a little short synopsis about Dr. Lori, and then let's go into that.
Okay. Well, I'm originally from New York, Brooklyn, New York. An actual native New Yorker, which is kind of a rare breed. I got my bachelor's degree in psychology from Norfolk State University and my master's degree from Hunter College in New York. My doctorate came from Nova Southeastern University, which is located in Florida. I have worked, as I said before, I have worked as just about every kind of counselor you can think of. I've been a rehabilitation counselor, a career counselor, a drug prevention counselor, a career counseling supervisor. I've been a college counselor, and a drug treatment counselor. And I have worked with adolescents and adults. Never worked with very young children, but that's, you know, very young children or the elderly. Those are the only two populations that I haven't worked with. And again, what makes me a really good counselor is I can feel a little piece of what you feel when you come in to see me as a client. I feel a little, just a little minuscule piece of what you feel. And quite often, I know what's wrong before you tell me. I have that level of empathy, and that's what allows me to be a really good counselor.
That's wonderful.
Is that?
But it's true. I mean, you know, you've studied this for so long, and you know so much,
mm-hmm.
even by the way people may interact or even the way they may act, and of course by their resilience. And tell me about Mama Sayings and Life Reflections, and Set Yourself Free.
Okay. Well, Mama Sayings is, you know, like I was telling you earlier, Mama Sayings began as a file on my computer, and the first book I really just kind of published just to see what would happen, and it was simply the list, and it was called Mama Sayings. And, you know, I printed a few copies and sold them, you know, people who, you know, friends and family and people who, you know, knew me and liked me, you know, I sold a few copies, and so I decided to expand it a little and go on, and I kept getting the comment, you know, Lord, you don't tell the story behind the sayings. You know, some of them, you know, need the story. So that's where the life reflections part came in. And so I decided that I would have a story for each chapter in the book. There would be a story that related to that chapter. You know, now the book has 10 chapters, and they are faith and relationships. There's a chapter called Woman to Woman. There's a chapter called From the Chuckle Factory, which has a few sayings from my grandfather, who was a very colorful man.
And I love those kind of sayings, I have to say. My father had some really good ones, too.
Yes. You know, everything I put in from my grandfather, I had to clean it up a little bit before I put it in. There's a chapter on the old sayings, the ones from the old school. You know, those like you lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas. You know,
right.
Things like that. Those old time sayings, and who knows where they came from. You know, we know they're cliches. There's words of wisdom from the school of hard knocks. There's to know yourself is to love yourself. There's parenting. And then there's also simple advice for a good life. There's lots of categories, and each one of the chapters has one or two stories behind the scenes.
I love that you did that. That was a great idea.
Thank you. Thank you.
And now Set Yourself Free, a 30-day planner for improving. Tell me.
Set Yourself Free is not just an appointment book. Set Yourself Free is an inspirational planner. And Set Yourself Free is also an introduction to life coaching, because one of my best friends bought a copy of Set Yourself Free. And she called me and she said, you know what? She said, I was looking at, you know, this information in the front about life coaching, and I'm filling out these forms and I'm lost. I want to learn more about about how to do this. And so I started doing workshops called Set Yourself Free, where, you know, I taught people how to use the planner. And that is a goal. I'm doing them on site locally now, but my goal is to take them online. So people, you purchase your planner and, become a part of this group, and maybe you and five of your girlfriends get together and, you know, maybe we get together on Skype or something like that, and I show you how to use the planner.
That's wonderful.
Yes, and each day when you go through, there's an introduction to life coaching. It talks about, and I explain what life coaching is, and I also explain why Dr. Lori should be your life coach. And also for each day has two pages. There's a schedule, you know, where you can put in appointments. There's a list for tasks, and there's a list for today's goals. And on the other page, there's a list of accomplishments. Because one of the things that I changed about my life is I used to go home from work, be busy all day at work, and go home from work every day thinking about all the things I never got around to doing. And it was, you know, kind of a miserable ride home when that was your focus. But when I changed the focus, instead of going over all the things I forgot or didn't do, I started going over all the things I did do, my accomplishments. Same work day, same drive home, but I felt a whole lot better. And so when you finish a task, you move it from your task list to your accomplishment list. And there's a place for you to put things that go to tomorrow if you didn't get to it. You know, you can add that for tomorrow. But the big thing about it is each page, each day has an inspirational quote. Quite a few of them are mine. They come from Mama Sayings. But there are other people who are quoted as well. Marianne Williamson.
Love her.
Maya Angelou. Eleanor Roosevelt, Dr. Martin Luther King, just a number of people who, Franklin Roosevelt, just inspirational quotes, things that inspired me and that inspired other people. So every day you open up this planner, there's something that stands out for you. You know, like now I'm standing here with the planner in my hand, I just opened it up. To a random page, it's one of my quotes, and it says, "When someone makes you choose between loving yourself and loving him or her, choose to love yourself." Just little brief things like that.
Where can we get these books?
You can get them on my website.
Oh, okay.
Yes, resilienceinternational.com, and if resilience. It's kind of a strange word. It's actually the Latin origin for the word resilience. So if people don't remember resilience, They can always go to they can go to lauriehobson.com.
I just want to repeat that. So it's www.resilienceinternational.com. So, and international is abbreviated. So it's resilienceintl.com.
That's cool.
Or www.lauriehobson.com. How exciting!
Yes. Yes. And you should find a link to purchase the books on each page.
Perfect. I'm glad that we can purchase them. I'm so excited about that. I love everyone that you mentioned, so I can only imagine your mentors and all the fun that you've had even developing your style, your technique, and yet writing these books. I mean, it must have been really something wonderful. Are you involved in any organizations, anything that you would like us to know about?
Yes, I am a professional member of the National Speakers Association, as well as a member and a member of the board of the Virginia chapter of the National Speakers Association. I'm also a member of the Peninsula Women's Network. And BNI, which is Business Networking International.
That's wonderful. So what do you do in your free time? Well, when you have it.
My favorite thing in the whole wide world to do is dance. I love dancing. And so I do jazzercise classes and Zumba classes, you know, various aerobic dance classes. I take yoga. I come from a very loving and close-knit family. And so I spend time with my family. I am active in the women's ministry at my church, Calvary Community Church, here in Hampton, Virginia.
That's wonderful. So I want to go to some other questions before I ask you. I always like to ask other things. But my first question is, what would you like the listeners to know about you?
I would like my listeners to know that I've been there. Those of you who are out there who, let's say you're working under someone who may not be as smart and savvy or experienced as you are, and how frustrating that can be for you, how that feels, I've been there. Those of you who have to sit in the parking lot maybe for 5 minutes or so before you get out of the car, I've been there. Those of you who are feeling guilty because you are, you know, trying to raise your children, trying to make a normal life for them, trying to, you know, make money, bring home the bacon, and, you know, trying to, you know, be involved with the rest of your family, I've been there. Those of you who are, what do they call it, the sandwich generation, those of you who are taking care of elderly parents, as well as teenage and younger children, and trying to make sure everybody's taken care of, and also trying to keep yourself healthy so you can keep going, I've been there. Those of you who know that you have a talent that you're not using and know that you want more than anything else to use that talent and know that that's what you're supposed to do, but you're afraid, I've been there.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I want them to know. I'm not just here, oh, she's a doctor and she has She's a doctor and she's a clinician, and yes, I am a doctor and a clinician, bona fide doctor and a clinician, not honorary. Okay, I did the research and did the coursework. I did it. You know, the certified, bona fide experience. I absolutely am. You know, however, that's not what makes me a resilience coach. What makes me a resilience coach is the fact that I have had to be resilient and I have the talents to help other people do the same.
Is that why you love butterflies?
Oh, yes. I'm so glad you asked me that question. I absolutely love butterflies. And anytime you see Dr. Lori, look for the butterfly, because I am rarely without a butterfly somewhere. They might be in my ears, they may be in my hair, around my neck, around my wrist, in my lapel, but there's going to be a butterfly somewhere, probably 362 out of 365 days of the year. Because I admire butterflies, because butterflies are the most amazing, resilient creatures on earth, in my opinion. Because a butterfly, everybody knows that butterflies come from caterpillars. Now, first of all, they start out as a caterpillar, which in my opinion looks like a hairy worm. You know,
yeah.
Some people like them, but yeah, it looks like a hairy worm, okay? Caterpillar doesn't just crawl into a cocoon and sprout wings. That's not what happens. What happens is a caterpillar crawls into a cocoon and it goes through a process in which it is turned to mush. That process is called instar, and I love that name.
Yes.
It has turned to mush, and it emerges. After being going through this process where it's turned to mush, it emerges as this beautiful, delicate, but resilient creature that can fly. And that's why I like to call my coaching clients my instar clients. And I have been through that instar experience myself, where I had to develop, where I got turned to mush and had to develop resilience. All those things that I just talked about, the things that I said that I've been there.
Yeah.
That was my instar experience. That was me getting turned to mush. That was me being able to emerge as this beautiful, strong creature that can fly. And that's why I love butterflies.
That's great. And that's why you're also so passionate about resilience.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
When I'm looking for a resilience coach or a life coach, why would I choose Dr. Lori?
Because I've been there. Because I have taken the time to develop both the clinical and life coaching skills to be able to help people with their transformation, so to speak. Because you can count on me to hold you accountable. You may, and I am willing, that's another thing, that's another saying that's in my book. I am willing, I love you enough to risk your wrath. And what I mean by that is, I'm going to love you enough to hold you accountable and say, well, wait a minute, didn't you tell me that you were going to do this? You haven't done that. What's going on? What's stopping you from doing that? Even if you get angry with me. It's all right with me. If you're angry with me, I can live with that. That's not what I want, but I can live with that. I am willing to introduce you to you. And once you get to know you and know how you are, then you can begin to grow you. That's, you know, when you can come out of that instar, you can grow those wings and you can get yourself to the point where you can fly.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
What are the three things that you know for sure?
I know I can survive whatever I'm afraid of. I know that at all time, at all times, God's got my back. And I know that I am doing what I am supposed to do. This is what I was put on this earth to do.
I believe that. I believe that you have this quality that can actually be seen or heard, which I think is makes me so proud of you, because you have come through so much, and you have such a wonderful way of being resilient, coming back. You know, it's great. Where do you see your practice in the next 5 to 10 years?
What I would like to see, what I would really like, is for my practice to become a group. I would love to have life coaches who specialize in other things. Maybe life coaches who specialize in financial health or health and wellness. Each of us has our own little niche, our own little area of expertise, but they can come to the Resilience International group and find what they need. I would also, Resilience is not simply a business. It is a movement. It's a membership movement. And I would like for people to become members of the Resilience. Like, for example, my coaching clients would be InStar coaching clients would be, you know, members of the Resilience. And then there are other people who I think should be honorary members, like Monet Davis. That's why I love to meet her. I'd like to make her an honorary Resilient. Certainly Eleanor Roosevelt. And, you know, other strong women that I admire, strong women who are leaders. I would like for us to all set an example and to help other women to discover their resilience. One of the things that I learned that was distressing to me when I was doing my research was to find out that even though the people surveyed in this particular article that I read, the people being surveyed in this article thought that women made better leaders, they would still rather work for a man. And I'm not saying that, you know, men are, you know, across the board poor leaders. But what I am saying is we have a huge amount of untapped potential for leadership in women who are hesitant to step up into those leadership roles because of what they are concerned they may encounter when they get there. And if you have resilience, then you can be president of your own fan club, which is one of my workshops. You can be president of your own fan club, and you can take that fan club president with you everywhere you go. That way your validation does not come from outside of you. So you can step into that room full of those people who maybe think you're not supposed to be there and know that you are supposed to be there.
That's exciting.
It is.
Now, before we close, I just want to ask you, it's kind of like a twofold question.
Okay.
If you had one wish to be granted for you, what would that be? And what kind of a legacy would you like to leave? I believe they go hand in hand in a way.
Certainly. If I had one wish granted for me, it would be for my message of resilience to go across the globe. I'm not so much in seek of fame and fortune. You know, although money is nice, you know, fame sounds like you got to be resilient to have it. You know, but it's not as much that as it's just important to me that women across the globe get that message. And my legacy is the lives that I touch. When I graduated with my doctorate, the tagline of the school that I went to, I was in the School of Education through Nova Southeastern University, the Abraham Fischler School of Education. Their tagline is cause and effect. And at graduation, I really understood what that meant. When I looked around that room and I thought at this group of, you know, amazing scholars in this room, I am a part of this group and we are going to touch thousands, maybe millions of lives. So my legacy is the lives that I touch and the lives that they touch. You know, I teach in a clinical mental health counseling program, master's level. I teach counseling students. They are my legacy. I tell them that all the time. You are my legacy. You know, me being in this classroom with you is going to touch your life, your family's life, the lives of the people who you are counselor for, as well as their family's lives, and so on and so on and so on. That's it.
I think that Dr. Lori Hobson is remarkable. I think that you are going to definitely be heard of in many ways. I'm excited that I go to your website, which again is www.resilienceinternational.com or Dr. LoriHobson.com. I'm excited that we can do that and get the books and learn, and you have the courses and everything that we possibly could, because, you know, this world needs resilience.
Absolutely.
And this Absolutely. World needs you, Dr. Lori.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
I'm so Absolutely. Glad you're here. But really, I'm also excited that you are part of the Women of Distinction magazine family. I'm excited mm-hmm. that you're going to be in the magazine. Mm-hmm. And of course, we're going to have all of this information, not only in your article, but also when we put your interview up. I do want to thank mm-hmm. you. I wish you, there's so much more I want to ask you. I could talk with you for hours. Really, truly. And
thank you. And
but
I'm a talker, so yes, you could.
And but I have to, unfortunately, save this for another time, my other questions.
Okay.
But what I really do want to say, honestly, from the bottom of my heart, is that I am so glad that you're here. I wish you many years of continued health and success in all that you do. And I thank mm-hmm. you so much for giving us and sharing this time with us.
Thank you, and it has been my pleasure.